Welcome to the Talking Small Biz podcast, where we talk about the stuff entrepreneurs don't want to talk about, but we do.
What's up, guys? Before we get into today's podcast, first, we got to pay some bills.
All right, so today's episode is brought to you by
Glanvey Home, where they sell Sherpa blankets, pillowcases, and throw blankets that have a nice hand feel, warm. They're pretty cozy. Bay and I both got one. I liked mine.
Dude, I took mine home, took it out the packaging, which I must say the packaging was pretty nice. It was basically wrapped up in a bow, so you could almost present it as a gift right away without even going out and buying
without having like to buy a separate
bag
gift
or wrapping or anything like that. So I was impressed with the packaging, so that was really cool. But also like first impressions is like super soft. It's got two different like soft levels, like the outside has that kind of fleece kind of feel, and then the other side is more like a cotton fleece kind of feel. So
it's fluffy.
It's warm as anything. So right now, like in Dothan, we're not used to this cold weather. Mm-hmm. And so at nighttime, it's been super comfortable to kick back and watch some, you know, some TV shows or movies and things like that. So my family almost fights over the blanket, like no lie. Like we literally like, no, that's dad's blanket kind of thing.
Nice.
So the kids enjoy it. I enjoy it. It's been a great experience so far.
It is. And my kid likes it too, which is pretty good because he has a sensory issue. You go to his website, glanveyhome.com, which is in the show notes. And right now they're running a 20% off sale when you sign up for their email list. And it is an all-American company too, based out of Florida.
Yeah, I definitely highly recommend checking it out. We love blankets and stuff, so that fits with our family as well. It's one of those things like, I debate on hitting record, but then it's like, we end up having like a good talking point, and it's like, I wish I would have been recording at that point. So we're just gonna record and see how the conversation goes. But yeah, I was saying like it's Wednesday already. Seems like as soon as we get done recording, we're back together recording another one.
What you recording?
I'm talking about every week goes by so fast, it feels like I just left here.
Oh, dude, I didn't get my podcast last week done. I know.
I hear you. It's tough. I haven't done my personal podcast in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I haven't been dinged by Spotify.
Well, so it's like I'm working on my personal brand, but also working on BaneTech stuff. And the last BaneTech thing, the MojiPick device, the LED display.
Yes.
So it's super cool.
Yes.
But then like the next day after I published that video,
don't tell me it broke.
The freaking thing just goes to crap. So I've reached out and they're sending, or I don't even know if they're sending me another one. I had to send it back so they could do their diagnostics and stuff. And I was like,
dude, diagnostics like, on what? Is it really that high tech?
The thing is like I've done everything. Like it just doesn't even turn on. So it's just like I was semi rude in a sense, like once it got to a certain point, because I was just like, I'm not an idiot.
You give it a good review.
I'm not an idiot. Like I know how electronics work. And I was like, the thing is done, dead. It's not working. And they kept on like trying to ask these questions of like, did you do this? It's like, would you all quit beating around the bush? And like they took offense to that. And like they escalated it to a management team and all this kind of stuff. I'm just like, can y'all just send another unit? I'll send this one back. And like they wouldn't do with that. Like I had to they said I was being uncooperative.
What, the company was saying that?
Yeah, said that I was uncooperative. I'm like, no, I was fully cooperative. I answered questions like three times, but like how much simpler can I say that it just doesn't work?
I gotta rewatch your review because that's a good response pretty much.
I liked it a lot, but like I told him, like, I had to take the review down. Like it's just,
Did you take it down?
Yeah, it's not published anymore. It's not deleted, but it's like I told him that I can't have the review up there until I have a working unit. And so, like, I don't even know how they're going to handle this. Like, it got sent back yesterday because Monday was a holiday. They sent.
Oh yeah, that's right. I totally forgot about that.
So I don't even know how it's going to turn out as far as if I'm going to get another one or what. or they're going to send that one fixed or something. But I'm like,
they got to do something. That's still your time for the review.
Right. So
I don't think with these companies,
put it this way, like this is what I'll do. And it's not to be a jerk, but I'm trying to be as transparent as possible. And I never want to steer one of my viewers in the wrong direction. So if this whole situation doesn't get handled appropriately, I will come up with an updated video and review talking about the experience. And so, the device is super cool. Like, I was really looking forward to using it.
It looked neat.
And now it's like, obviously I can't do it. Like, in my opinion, they should have sent me another device. Because, in reality, I'm out here trying to help the whole company with this device. But now it's like I'm having to send it back, wait for their analysis or diagnostics or whatever, and see if they want to try to fix that one or send me a new one. But, like, they could just skip a lot of steps and send me a new one and hope that one works fine. Because they said that they've never had any issues like I've had. And so I was like, maybe I just got a dead or a dud or whatever.
And you got one of those built on the Monday or Friday night.
So, yeah, I would have totally handled it differently. And, like, I hope that they don't handle their normal customers the same way. Because, like, one, the thing...
Are you allowed to say the name of the company in this podcast?
I don't care. It's Mojipick.
Okay. I don't know what your contracts are with these people. Like,
no,
sometimes I can't,
like, there's no
talk
contract.
About certain things.
There's no contract with it. It's just, like, they sent it for review, and I did the review, and just as luck happens, the thing died on me the next day. So I just had to reach out and say,
because sometimes, sometimes I feel with these people, they have to follow the script, these companies. Right. Like CenturyLink. I know, I may not be an IT guy, but I know how internet and routers work and how they're supposed to work. Mm-hmm. And I talked to their team troubleshooting my router at home. It's not doing what it's supposed to be doing, and they gotta, you know, start from step one. Well, sir, is it plugged into the wall? So I don't think they were like being offensive, but by step three of the redundancy, I understand the mass majority of people don't understand.
Right.
That's why they're still teaching, Troy University, they teach basic computers and every student has to take it.
So
type
this
of stuff.
Is the other irritating part about the whole situation was that, so I was originally dealing with like the PR person, the handles media and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you, handles your stuff.
So obviously, okay, you're talking to Bain Tech, who reviews electronics. Like I said, I'm not an idiot. I know how electronics work.
And that's why I didn't tell the CenturyLink guy.
But so once I reported the issues, like he sent me to support at that point. But he did not relay that information. Hey, you're dealing with Bain Tech. He knows electronics, like as common sense would have. So I'm dealing with customer service, them thinking that I'm just a normal customer. And so, like, once it got to a point where, okay, you just need to send a device back, can I get your purchase order number or receipt or whatever? I was like, at that point, I knew that they didn't know that this was a review thing. And so I'm like,
I thought you were talking to the PR guy.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the PR guy didn't communicate that this was a review thing.
Oh,
so the support is treating me like
a
normal
customer. Hate when that happened. You're like, well, can we have your name? I'm like, you're the fifth person I talked to. Don't you guys have a computer that says this?
But what my point is that they didn't know it was a review unit. They just thought it was a normal purchase. And so it's like, I don't have a purchase order because this was a review thing. And so then at that point, they had to bounce me back to the support team or whatever. And it's just like, it was just a total mess. And it's like the breakdown of communication was pretty rough. Breakdown of communication within your team members is a great topic for your small business.
I've got that because all my team members are remote.
So, like, communication on your end is crucial because you have to communicate in a way that most small businesses don't. Because, like, a lot of, like what we say, like brick and mortar businesses deal with their employees or, you know, contractors and stuff like that face to face. But you're dealing with people online. And so you have like time zone differences,
of the world. Yeah.
You got different languages, you got all kinds of, I guess you could say, just obstacles that you have to get over in order to get your message properly communicated.
Yeah.
And then, like, you even have cultural differences to where it's like, even not necessarily slang or just the way you handle stuff or like things could be interpreted differently because the different culture handles situations differently.
You know, it's funny you say that. So two things. One, my Filipino that I hired, in their culture, they get tipped on Christmas. That's their culture. And my buddy told me, he's like, when you hire these Filipinos, you get, it's called the 13th payment. And it's half of what you pay them plus half, which I was fine with.
Right.
Because I'm paying him, in his currency, it's a lot, but in American money, like, I couldn't hire an American for paying this guy. Sorry. And he's good the way he does. Anyways, so I didn't know that, so I made sure to tip him well. And I tip, you know, I today, he did some extra work for me, so I sent him an extra tip. And I, hey, man, I appreciate the extra work. Here's $50, which doesn't sound like that to him. That's like $2,000-something in his currency. And speaking of culture differences, a lot of people don't realize, not that I'm expecting it, I won't be expecting it, but some guys in my industry, they get tipped by their clients. And I've never gotten a tip from a single client.
I mean, cultural stuff could be just even regional, even in the United States. For like on that topic, in the wedding industry, it's common practice for the couple or just the clients to tip the vendors.
For real?
For real.
Wow.
That's not common in this area whatsoever. I think we've been tipped before, but it's never been in the Dothan area.
What's a tip for you? Like your average, you told me she's $200. What did they tip you? Like a restaurant, 20%?
I don't even know. Like, I don't know what the standard is, but it's like we've gotten like $100 average as a tip. But like I said, it's always been outside of the Dothan area. But it's like, the vendor.
Yeah, I didn't know that because my buddy was telling me, he's like, oh, my client just tipped me them all. What? And we're in the exact same niche. We're both digital marketers,
right?
PPC. Well, and he's like, yeah, your clients don't tip you? Well, no. And what funny, the funny thing was, my client in Oregon, it's a couple of my clients outside of Dothan, they send me a tip. Like every once in a while, hey, Tony, thanks for the great work.
Yeah.
And I was just like, what the hell is this?
And I found out that it happens around the other parts of the country as a normal thing because I follow vendor networks and stuff, like other filmmakers and photographers. Like they
You're a service-based industry, and because of that, you're supposed to get tipped. That's what I was told.
Yeah. So I guess in a way that it's kind of been a good thing that I'm not used to it, because if it doesn't happen, like I might have that entitled attitude, which I can't stand entitlement.
True.
So I never go into it.
Yeah, I never have either.
Anything, whether it's corporate or wedding, going into it thinking I'm going to get a tip or a bonus or anything like that. I just kind of go in there.
Well, I'm learning that with my guy down in Miami who works with me on the e-com stores. Mm-hmm. He's like, it's tradition that when we hit certain benchmarks with our clients, they tip us 25% of the revenue. Right. And I went, really?
Well,
so I was like, what?
What we've done is, like, especially, I think every time that we've been tipped, other than one time I can think about, like, it's like my wife has had a team and I've had a team. We got tips, so we just split the tips with the team. Like, of course, Evergreen, we could have just pocketed it and made it profit, whatever, but we split it up between the team and everybody got a bonus that time.
Yeah, I share my profits with the team.
So that's definitely interesting. But if you don't, so back to like communication with your team and how that is crucial to how things flow, because
like, so crucial.
It's
oh gosh, it's the hardest thing to do.
You got to have different methods of communication.
Well, we use Slack as my primary method of communication and Facebook Messenger, but Slack is when we get a client, we will onboard that client into Slack so they are well aware of the communication going on, what's happening to their website, their ads, their SEO, whatever the heck we're doing. They are informed.
So for those that don't know, Slack is a messaging platform.
Not a sponsor.
Also, yeah, I've used it in the past. I haven't had current situations where I've needed to be on it. And usually the times I've been on Slack has been because of more Bain Tech related stuff, to where I'm working with certain companies or other creators and stuff like that to work with. Mm-hmm. But it's also like a good organization tool, planning, scheduling, all kinds of stuff like that.
Haven't used those other ones. I use it strictly for communication.
But you have all those features available to you.
True. A lot of my days sitting here at this computer, type, hit enter. Mm-hmm. And because of time zone differences, waiting for a response.
That's fun. Yeah, like every morning I wake up to emails from China.
Same here. I wake up to emails from my clients overseas.
All the Amazon sellers and stuff. But like, so, so there's crucial. Definitely like the messaging side of communication, but it's also like, you. So
Here's something about communication that's mm-hmm. different from me to other marketers in my industry.
Right.
Google holds me to a level of responsibility to update my client notes in their system. And I learned this the hard way. If I don't do it, someone else will do it, and I lose the money. I get paid. So, I get paid by Google. Mm-hmm. I get a back check. It's not huge. My primary. It's like, oh, good job for not screwing up type of check. But if I don't input my notes, the first and only time it's happened mm-hmm. to me, I lost $500 that month.
Wow,
that hurts.
Yeah. So I'll use some like team management communication. I think would be just to give some example kind of stuff is. I'll use a wedding as an example. So we have multiple teams, but so you might shoot a wedding, but you not might edit the same one or vice versa. You might edit something that you didn't shoot. So not being there, knowing what the situations were like we have ways like notes kind of apps or whatever, like Google Docs, for example, mm-hmm. I guess you could say free.
Not a sponsor.
Well, I mean, we use the Google Business Suite, which is not free, but it comes with it. But you can have a free one through Gmail.
Yeah, anyways, G Suite, that stuff. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Google Docs.
I pay for it, too.
We use Google systems for most of our management type stuff. Anyways, like if there's like things that we know that the editor would need to know, we would make a list. So like, be sure to use this. Or there was a mistake here. Like, be on the lookout for that, you know. Like those lines of communication help out.
At 2 minutes, something does happen.
Right, or like the groom's mic went out or something like that, or the DJ's soundboard messed up at this point. You know, just little things like that that could help out the edit in the long run. If we didn't have that in place, like it could be a surprise later or we might miss something. For like our gold package clients, where they get recordings and edited copies of like all the different moments that happen. So if there's something that's abnormal that happened during the day that the client would appreciate, making it, hey, make sure that you find this. And then even just on like on the editing side of stuff, like when you organize the footage, mm-hmm. like we organize it by camera, by focal length, by situations, if it's the ceremony, reception. So that way it just makes it easier down the road. So you're always like trying to help the other person out. Mm-hmm. And so that's like the mentality. It's like, yeah, we can try to handle stuff ourselves, but what if someone else needs to work on the project? That person can pick up where you left off without a hiccup. And so like that's where communication definitely helps out in like finding those different ways to implement methods to, whether it's a note-taking app, Google Documents, Slack,
yeah,
whatever it is, like find ways to communicate to your team. So like I said, you're helping each other out.
I use Loom, not a sponsor. And
no sponsors right now.
Well, we have a sponsor.
But you will know what
you may have heard of him already, so you know, wherever we're at in this podcast. But I know, right? We got a sponsor, Bane. That's so cool. Anyways.
It's a comfort sponsor.
Yeah, it's a comfort sponsor. I use Loom, and I'll make a video for like my team, my clients, and they're just like, that's so much easier to follow than an email, because I can just be like, hey, this needs to be changed, this, blah, blah, this will happen, this client, blah, and they can just be like with their doing the thing. Right. It works so well, like everyone on my team's adopted Loom to work with their clients, because they're just like, that makes so much more sense. Like just, and Loom is free, and the paid version is like $100 a year, totally worth it. You get a couple extra tools, unlimited storage on their servers, which I make a ton of videos if you guys know me. But so it's great. And then the thing about what separates me from my competition is that note taking I mentioned about earlier is Google. Mm-hmm. No other marketer here in town is going to do with that stuff.
Good job.
I struggle not to curse.
I don't have to beep that one out.
No, the marketer does that because it's another level of responsibility.
But that's like, so why are you so expensive? It's because we take these extra steps of quality.
To make sure we don't screw up. Like, I'm dealing...
to make the best experience possible for us and the client.
Like, so surprises are different from a screw-up.
Yes.
Like, I have a client right now who's a realty client. There's a surprise on his website about integrating MLX form, and my webmaster is working on a solution for that problem. It's going to be an additional cost. The client's fine with that. There's no screw up, though. We haven't broken anything. It was just, unusual.
Stuff happens.
Yeah.
But again, this is the reason why you're paid a certain price, is because you're able to help the situation.
Yeah. One of the reasons why I charge what I charge is because if something goes wrong or I need to consult a professional who's better than me, I can afford to pay them for that.
Yeah. There.
Because I know I work with some pretty darn smart people that are better than I am. And if I need to pay them for their time, I can pay them for their time. The client pays for a solution to their problem.
Right. Another,
and that communication is just so freaking important.
A new communication tool that we've adopted this year is called Milanote.
Not a sponsor.
Kinda.
Oh, might be a sponsor.
per se Evergreen or
TalkBiz?
Yeah, our podcast. It's not associated with our podcast, but I purchased it first, or I started using it first. You can get a free account, and it's a storyboarding app, basically.
Like Trello?
I don't know what that is.
I use Trello for my content creation, anyways.
So Milanote is like it's a fantastic creative tool for creatives. And it's something that you can use with clients, too. That's the thing I like about it. So, yeah, we have great lines of communication methods within Evergreen. But something sometimes that is the missing point is for the client to be in on some of that communication. So with this, like, if you don't know what storyboarding is, it's like an organization method to outline your creative project.
Do I know what storyboarding is? Yes. I know how to do it? No.
But the thing I looked into other storyboarding apps and websites and stuff, and just I was never really happy with it. With Milanote, you can have a free account. You just are limited to the amounts of boards, but you can share it. Someone opens up an account, you get more boards added to you.
Cool.
So the semi-sponsored side of the things is that on BaneTech, there was a blog post that talked about Canva and how the different ways that you can use it for your professional work and all that kind of stuff.
Interesting.
Anyways,
I like Canva.
I use it almost every day, it feels like. But Milanote caught attention of that blog post, and they're asking about including a link in a little bit of description about Milanote into it, and that they're going to help provide some extra storage for whatever account I want to apply it to. So that's cool.
Free stuff, man. Take it.
No, yeah, for real. That's what I'm saying. It's semi-sponsored, but not necessary for this podcast. But I'm going to use it for Evergreen because, like, we're using the app for Evergreen. I'll leave links to all the stuff that we talk about in the show notes because all the tools that we're using.
Oh, that reminds me. I have a new link I have to give you. That one you currently have is out of date.
Which one is?
My Linktree.
Oh, okay.
I am no longer using Linktree. I am using HeroPost.
Okay.
Not a sponsor. But they're also kind of a sponsor because they gave me an affiliate link for my Tech Tony stuff. Anyways, but they have a really cool Linktree that's really multi-platform. Anyway, it's amazing, the analytics behind it. Anyways.
I'll tell you what we'll do. There's so many organizational communication tools. So on the back end of stuff,
if anyone mentioned today wants to sponsor us, please feel free to reach out to Bane or Tony.
So I use what's called Genius Link, and it's mostly for affiliate marketing. But one of the cool features about it is that, let's say a link goes bad or you need to change something, you can change the path of what it leads to. So let's say it's gen.us or something like that, genie.us/ whatever you name it. So if it's a product, I normally name that. So let's say, like, I want to direct someone to Amazon one time and to another site, or the links change, because sometimes that happens. You can go on the back end and change the path URL. So what we could do with your thing with our podcast, in case things change, we can make a Genius Link affiliate link, short link basically, and be able to change it in the future if we need to. So that way, nothing ever changes on the podcast show notes, but it does in the back end if need to be.
Oh, cool. Well, I just sent you my new link.
I'll work on that, but it's a super cool tool to use because, again, communication. So, like, we talk about links, we talk about, and I send clients links to stuff, and sometimes things change. So, being mm-hmm. able to have functioning things for clients to work on or see.
I use Google Sheets for onboarding. Mm-hmm. There's a list of questions. I always tell my client, hey, you know, send you an onboarding sheet, fill it out to the best of your ability. The more detail you give us, the better job we can do, yada, yada, yada. And it's in their hands to give me the information. And, you know, Slack really helped. I know how important communication is because I have two clients that I've hired mm-hmm. that the previous companies that they worked for, which shall remain unnamed, Marketing 360, is they were shit. At communication.
Yeah, I gotta beep that out now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
it's all good.
They were junk.
I wonder how many bombs we can drop before it.
Like, I have cussed once in this whole podcast.
before we have to start labeling stuff with explicit content.
And their poor communication, really bad. Mm-hmm. I got another one right now I'm trying to work with and I can't get them to get back to me. We're all on the same team here, guys. Dude. Work with me here.
And this client's like,
I never had someone have clear communication with us.
So as our motto goes with this podcast, like we're talking about stuff that small businesses don't want to talk about, but we do. Let me just say, like, Dothan, you all have got to step up.
Dothan who?
Dothan, in general. What?
Yeah, they're behind the curve. I know what you're saying.
No, I'm saying there are projects that we, Evergreen and other associated companies trying to work on certain projects, but we can't get responses from people.
Oh, it's Dothan the Enterprise. Both of them are problems.
So the unresponsiveness of this area is really, really bad. So if you can't handle communication with potential clients or collaborations, pass that task on to somebody else that can. Like, you have to be responsive, or you're going to lose out or create more problems and all that kind of stuff. There's ways to do it. And again, like if you can't do it yourself, like find someone contracted out, or if there's another team member that can do it, you know, outsource that kind of stuff, or find a way to make it happen, because it's been kind of frustrating. Like I've been working with a certain organization trying to find certain people and work with certain businesses, but the unresponsiveness has been terrible. And it's like, how are you running a business and not being responsive like this? Like, it makes not even answering a phone call, like not answering the phone at all kind of stuff. Like, how are you doing business right now? So it's super important to be on the ball.
It's not the superintendent.
Kind of
don't remember his name. I'm trying to look at what you're talking. But anyways, nope.
The point is
communication.
Like, communication. There's ways to do it. There's tools to do it.
There's always ways to improve on it,
too. There's people, like, I promise, there's people that want to do that kind of stuff. Like, if you find that it's an obstacle or a burden, like, find the person that wants to do that kind of stuff and use them, because it's possible.
I actually enjoy it. My webmaster, he's not the best at talking to people. So if we got to the point where we're like, okay, if you have an issue, he'll talk to me privately on Facebook. Mm-hmm. I will address the client and resolve the issue in hand.
Right.
The majority of the time, though, he's in constant communication with the client because he's building a website. This client just dropped $3,000 for a website. Mm-hmm. He knows better what to ask than I do. But when he gets to a point where, hey, there's a miscommunication, I will barge in and rekindle that connection so him and the client can get the darn website done.
So
it's important.
One last tool that you can use. For the longest time, we've been using my phone number to my cell phone as the business line. But recently, we switched over to Google Voice, the business approach. It's like $10 a month. $10 a month is not bad. And so what can happen now is that me and my wife, or whoever's in front of even a computer, can answer a phone call, can answer a text message, and manage voicemails if that happens.
My 334 number is a Google Voice number, mm-hmm. and it actually spells out Tony.
You got lucky with that, with the 334.
Oh, I got that when it was in beta, dude, years ago.
Anyways, it's like, so I realized, like,
and it goes right to your cell phone. You don't miss anything. That's exactly the point.
Or, like, there's, when a phone call happens or when a text message happens or a voicemail, I also get an email.
Yep. You get sign its own ringer, too, so it's separate from your phone. So you know, oh, that's my regular phone, exactly, or that's the business line ring, and you get that.
So if I'm busy, but my wife isn't busy at the time or is able to answer a phone call when I can't, she can answer the phone, or vice versa. So again, like, we're taking steps to make it easier for our clients to contact us. And if I'm in a meeting, you know, a phone call that comes from a client can still be answered because my wife is not in that meeting, or, you know, whatever the situation is. So I think that wraps up that conversation.
I hope you guys enjoyed our talk today and our sponsor, because we still need, because, yeah, that's our sponsor.
And also, like, if you need help with these kind of organizational communication tools, set up a meeting with us. We'll be happy to sit down with you and get that kind of stuff in place, because there are very cool tools out there right now that you can take advantage of.
Or if you're a business that uses a tool that we didn't mention.
Yeah.
Talk about, let us know on Facebook.
Like, if there's something better, like, I'm always up for trying to find something better.
Yeah, because what we use isn't going to work for, like, a restaurant. You know, things like that. Sometimes. I don't know any restaurants that's going to use Slack.
I don't know. I guess it depends on what level you're at. I'm pretty confident with the tools that we mentioned could be implemented to almost every business in some way.
True.
So, anyways, good talk. And we'll catch you all next week.
Have a good day.